If you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, for just a moment to Psalms chapter 107. Psalms 107 in the book of Psalms. There are three types of psalms, as you're finding that. There are psalms that deal with trials. And so sometimes in the psalms you'll hear David say, "Help, O Lord, help." And so he's going through trials. And then there's other psalms that will say something like, "I trusted in the Lord, and he inclined to me." Some psalms are about trust. And then there's some of the psalms, they'll say, "Oh, clap your hands for, you know, there's victory in God," or something. And so those deal with triumph. So you have the, if you will, the trials, you know, the biting the teeth. And then you have the trust. And then you have the triumph. It's kind of interesting, huh? And so the book of Psalms is written physically by the man who had the heart after God. So God knew each of us would be in one of those three stages in our life. Either today you're going through the trials and you don't know when they're going to end, or you're in just that trusting stage. I don't know why God's allowing this to happen, but we're just going to trust him. He knows more than me. And some of you, and we hate you, you're in the triumph stage right now. "Yeah, things are going good." Boo. And so whatever stage you're in, if you don't like your stage, you'll be in another one. It's just how life is. But I want you to know, God never changes during any of those stages. He still loves you the same, still has a purpose, no matter what you're going through. And I just love the book of Psalms. If you have a cell phone, if you'd be so kind to put that on vibrate or mute, that would be a help. And we're just going to jump right in. I've never spoken an entire message on this subject. Shame on me. And so here it is. I think this is what we need to hear. And so Psalms chapter 107. Notice what it says. I'll just read a few verses here and there. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is," what's the word? Good. "For his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Verse 8, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness." Verse 9, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with," what's that word? "Goodness. Therefore he brought," skip down to verse 20, "he sent his word and healed them." Verse 21, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness." Verse 31, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness." Four times that statement is used there. I'm going to speak on this subject, the goodness of God. Just the goodness of God. Or we could call this, stop putting God on trial. Amen. You ever hear people, "Oh, I got a raise. God is good. I got fired from my job. Where was God? Hey, we got a new car. God is good. Someone stole my car. God is good." It depends on what kind of car you had. When things are going good, God is good. When things aren't going good, sometimes we don't believe he's good. But I want to tell you this, like the old saying, God is good all the time. All the time. Whether we recognize it or not. I want you to hear some of these scriptures today. I think it'll be a help. Father, bless now the brief time we have. Help us. Help us to see a little bit more of one of your hundreds of character traits. We want to be like you, so as we hang around you, I'm sure you'll put this in us. Help us to see it today. Be focused and help some of our problems to be minimized, some of our heartache, some of the tears be dried, some of the emptiness in our hearts be filled like only you can. And help us to believe what's going to be said today. In Jesus' name, amen. In Psalm 107, we just read that. Then there's another verse in 119. You don't have to turn to it, but if you want to, you can. In verse 68, I love it. And here's what it says in Psalm 119 and verse number 68. "Thou art good and doeth good." It's talking about God. Thou art good. He is good. And then it says, and he doeth good. Now stop for a moment. That means this. I'm not trying to be complicated. You can do good and not be good. But you can't be good and not do good. Say, I don't get it. I'm all confused. Well, there was a man in World War II in Germany, and there was a big fire, and he risked his life. He went into the fire and saved a German shepherd. It's pretty good, huh? Wouldn't you say that's a good man? His name was Adolf Hitler. So he did something good, but he wasn't good. But here's what the Bible says about God. Thou art good. Thou doest good. It's all God can do because it's who he is. It's an extension of who he is. Thou art good and doeth good. And then I like in 145 verse 9, it says a little bit about that. 145, 9, it says, the Lord, here's where your faith's going to have to come in. Some of you right now, you're saying, okay, God is good, I get it, and he does good, I get it, to other people. Sure he's good to other people. But notice what God says, and you have to believe it. 145 verse 9, the Lord is good to all. So if we believe the Bible, we have to believe God has been good to me. By way of introduction, if you're struggling with that right now, what country did you wake up in this morning? What is the country people are risking their life to jump over fences, swim to, take boats to? It's this one. How come? We're blessed. We've got it good. Yeah, we got problems in our country, but most of us, our problem is, am I eating steak today or salad today? Is it Mexican food? Is it Chinese food? Which will I eat? While much of the world says, will I eat today? We say, well, skip the meal. You know, I usually have five meals and I only had four yesterday. Some people in the world say one meal would be great every day if we could just have one meal. God has been good to us. If you've got eyes this morning that see, he's been good to you. If you've got ears that hear, he's been good to you. If you've got a mind to think, he's been good to you. If you've got an education and you've got a job skill and you've been hired and you've passed some classes and you've learned something, he's been good to you. If you're a man and you're married, he's been good to you because you're probably married outside of your marriage zone. Every man that marries always marries up. Thank you, ladies, for humbling yourself to marry us men, because you probably had a bad day and said, I do, or something. If you've been able to bear children, God's been good to you. If you're a grandparent, God's been good to you. If you heard the gospel and you've accepted Christ, he's been good to you. If you've been able to share Christ with others and you've had friends saved, they're going to spend eternity with you, God's been good to you. God is good, so he does good. It's who he is. Genesis 1 and 2, it says, God created and it was good. Jesus went about, Acts 10, 38, it says, doing good. So everywhere Jesus went, what he did, it was good. Exodus 33, 19, I love this passage. Moses is real close to God and he says, Lord, can I see you? And God says, no man's ever seen me and lived. He says, I'll just kind of put you in this cleft of the rock on this mountain. I'll pass by and I'll put my hand to cover you so my glory doesn't blind you or kill you. That's where we get the song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. That's where we get that. And guess what the Bible says, Exodus 33, in God's goodness passed by Moses. It didn't say his judgment, didn't say his goodness. So the word that he brought up, he says, Moses, just want you to know one thing about me. I am just loaded with goodness. I love that thought. Psalm 23, you remember, the Lord is my shepherd. It ends up saying something like this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I love Psalm 27. It says, I had fainted unless I believed to see. David said, I would have quit if I wouldn't have believed to see, here's the quote, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You start seeing the goodness of God to you, it'll keep you from quitting. How come? Because he's been so good to you. How could you quit on God? This past week, I spoke at a camp, and the director and the pastor is Joe Brown. Some of you would know him. Some of you would know his daddy, Larry Brown, the wild man, the wild evangelist. Well, his son took over the church, Joe Brown. Joe Brown married a girl that was in a quartet called the Epley Singers, and they made music for many years. So they were both raised, if you will, with a golden spoon, a golden Christian spoon in each of their mouths. They had good roots. They had great families, great churches. And now Joe's being used there at that church. He looked at me and said this. He said, how could I not serve God for all the good that he's done to me? Are you kidding me? I can't do anything but serve the Lord. It's that goodness of God that keeps us serving him. I love Galatians 5:22. It says it's a fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and it says goodness. So as God's Spirit fills us, we will be filled with goodness. I love the promise. It says, and we know that all things work together, you ready, for good to them that love God. God says not everything's good that happens in your life. Brother Schulte being in the hospital and the veteran's home 6 months, it's not good. Those in our church that have cancer, it's not good. Those who've been through a marriage breakup, it's not good. But God promises, I'll use it for good. He said, I can use it as an ingredient, and I can stir it into a recipe, and I can put that thing in the oven, and it'll be good for you and be good for somebody else. You heard the old story, these fellas, they got shipwrecked on an island. No, excuse me, it was one guy. He got shipwrecked on an island. He was cold and not sure if he'd ever be rescued. So he built a little hut. He built that little hut. One day he built a fire to just warm up and went out to gather some coconuts and see if he could find some bananas or food on the island. He was so lonely and so discouraged. He came back to the hut. The wind had kicked up. And the wind had turned that fire to catch that hut on fire, and his whole hut's burnt to the ground. He's so discouraged. Man, I'm trying to gather food. Now my hut's burned to the ground. 2 days later, a rescue ship came to the island. And he said, how did you find me? They said, we saw your smoke signals. We saw your smoke signals. Sometimes what happens is God lets something in our life burn up that we think we really have got to have. He allows it to burn up to send up smoke signals to draw others to himself. God is good all the time. I don't know if you would vote on this. I will. God's been better to me than I've been to him. You know what I found out? When I'm bad to him, he's still good to me. When I drift from him, he still wants to be close to me. When sometimes I'm upset with something he's done, he still loves me. You can't change God because that's who he is. I want to give you a couple thoughts here today. Number one, praise him for the good. And sometimes we use that word, praise God. It does not mean raising your hands, weaving back and forth, and falling out of the pew. The word praise just means brag. Every man likes to be bragged on. Every lady likes to be bragged on. Every child likes to be bragged on. And our God, who we are like, likes to be bragged on. He doesn't have a low self-esteem. He doesn't need it. But he knows if we brag on him, it will minimize what we're going through and take our eyes off of us. So what's God saying? Every day, four times in that chapter, get alone with the Lord and say, Lord, I just want to tell you, you sure were good at doing this, and I appreciate it today. Thank you for your goodness. Man, I had a job to go to today. Oh, Lord, I breathed through the night, and I woke up alive. Wow, look, he wants us to appreciate. Why should he give us anything else if we don't brag on what he's given us? Some of you stayed up late last night. I see you. They're in a holy grunt, hardly in this whole crowd. I'm going to preach today on what's wrong with all the politicians. Okay. A couple of you wait right now. Okay. Praise him for his good. Take God off a trial. Some of you need to settle once and for all, he is good, and leave it alone. Amen. And leave it alone. Well, if he's good, why'd this happen? If he's good, why'd I have a heart attack? If he's good, how come my mate left me? If he's good, how come my kid strayed and ran away from God? Take him off trial. Do you remember when you was a little kid and you had a crush on somebody? Or is that just something in Louisiana? I mean, kids don't like each other till they're what, in their 30s in California? Anyway, I had 21 girlfriends in second grade. Just want you to know. That's why I was broke when I met my wife. So, but you remember picking those little flowers and you'd say, she loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. I don't know why you did that. See, if you just look at the flower before you pick it, count in your head, if it has an odd number, she always loves you. We used to take apples and we'd turn the stem. And you, A, B, C, and that showed you who you were going to marry. Did anyone do this? Did any of this wisdom come here? And if the girl's last name started with A, it was like, there it is. If her name was like Zelda, a Z, you just barely turned it. Some of us need to pick those flowers and say, he loves me, he loves me still. He loves me, he loves me still. He's good to me, he's good to me still. He's good to me, he's good all the time. He's good to me, and we need to just settle it down. I don't know how many people I've talked to. They got mad about something. They cursed God. I'm never going to talk to you again. I'm not going to be back in church. I'm not going to read your word. Why did you do this? You know, Job, the great Christian, he says, what? He lost 10 children. He got diseased. He lost his businesses. He said, shall we only receive good at the hand of God and not evil or bad? He said, what are you thinking? You really thought life would only be good things coming your way? Why are you so shocked? Folks, last time I checked, we still live on planet Earth. It doesn't start with H, heaven. One day we'll be out of here. But I just want to just say it and proclaim it and emphasize it today. God is good. He is good to you. He is good to you individually. He's good to your family. He's good to you spiritually. He's good to you physically. God is good. Right. Want to say this too. Look for the good. This will be the last point. We're out of here early. Look for the good. You ever notice? You see what you look for. One electrician came in the building one day. He said, Pastor, I'm an electrician. It's just how I am. And I'm always noticing how many outlets. Is it 110? Where it's wired? Where the wires probably come in, the underground. Drywall people look and say, oh, they missed that seam. That wasn't very good. They didn't sand that. And they stucco before they should. And I see, oh, it's 12-foot sheets. And you see what you look for. You look for a negative. You look for fault. You'll see it. You look for fault in people. You'll see it. You come to our church one time. Oh, what a perfect church. Everybody in this church, what a great Christian. You don't know them like I do. We all have flesh. No one's perfect. Stop looking for the negative. Don't look for the negative in your wife. Don't look for the negative in your husband. Stop looking for the negative in your kids and your parents and in God. Look for the good. Look for the good in his creation. Folks, I hate to tell you that some of you don't understand. You were born and raised in California. That's good, but it's bad. You don't know what you have here. I was born and raised in Louisiana. Where the birds don't sing, they cough. It's two seasons. There's fall and summer. And the summer's so hot, the asphalt bubbles up like some prehistoric tar pits. It is humid. It's like you're living in a sauna. And if you can run from your car to your house, the mosquitoes are biting you. Two grown ones can levitate you off the ground almost. But the housing sure is affordable. With the cockroaches in your house and the mold, it's wonderful. Say, how come more people from Louisiana didn't move here? We didn't know about this place. Napa Valley is number 7 in the world. Desired places to live. Number 7. Number seven, you guys need to move back, by the way, North Carolina and Idaho. Move back. Why are you living in such a loser state? Okay, so anyway, they'll never come back. You need to look for the good. Our governor, I know. Our law, I know. Our tax, I know. But today it's going to be 72 degrees. And it's summer. Beautiful blue skies. No humidity. Wow. And in Napa, no crime. Well, back it up. We have an officer here. Someone did throw a paper cup out of their car window this week. They littered, I think, at the front page of all the newspapers. So crime has started. Once you start looking for the good, some of you are so negative. You say, Pastor, we were doing so good. Now you're down on us. You're so negative. I'll say, man, it's beautiful. Yeah, it's supposed to rain later this week. Can you even enjoy the now? Look for the good in God's creation. Look for the good in God's word. By the way, you look in this book, you're going to find something good for you. If you'll just open it every day, shut the news off, shut the CNN, shut Fox News, shut it all off, get off all the little blogs for a little time and just read this book, you're going to find out God is good. God's ways are good. His plan is good. His love for me is good. His plan of salvation is good. It's all good. Look for the good. I want to say this. Look for the good in people. There was a wicked king. His name was Jeroboam. Anybody name that here? Don't name your kid Jeroboam. Might not be good to name him Jerry. No, I'm kidding. I saw Jerry in the grave. I saw him right there. His mother's looking. It was a good name. It was at one time. Anyway. Jeroboam was a wicked king. He helped split the nation of Israel. He set up idol worship. He made it convenient to serve God. He set up these cow idols in two places. He said, you don't have to go to Jerusalem to serve God like he commands. Just take a shortcut. Stop at the cow, the golden cow. God said, no king before or after Jeroboam committed as much wickedness. And you know what God said about him after he died? God said, there was some good thing in him. If God could see something good in a wicked heathen king, we ought to be able to see something good in our parents, our kids, our church members, our relatives, our co-workers, our neighbors. If you look for it, you'll find it. It's kind of quiet. Someone said, I've been looking 38 years. Hadn't seen it yet. Well, probably you won't if you hadn't in 38 years. Look for the good in God's will. He says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. God's got a plan for you. It's good. When I was in Louisiana, I always thought I would pastor a church. But in the South, capital S. Lord, send me anywhere in Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama. Only go with me in Texas or Florida or North Carolina. Farthest from my mind was this state. See, you don't realize this, but in Louisiana, there's kind of a connotation about Californians. I knew all of you had pink hair. You all went on skateboards. Half the country was dying of AIDS, or half the state. Daily earthquakes, buildings falling down. One day the whole state would fall into the ocean. That's what we were told. So when I got a call, would you like to pastor a church in California? No! When we got on a bus to move out here, looked like Beverly Hillbillies. A school bus given to us, towing a Toyota station wagon with all of our stuff, puttering to get over the Mississippi Bridge to even get out of town. People gathered to wave, not good luck, it was goodbye. They knew they'd never see us again. But God looked and he says, oh, I got something good in Napa. Got something good. There's some good people there waiting to get saved. There's some good people there that want to serve God. There's some good people there. I'm going to grow a church, God was thinking. His plan is always gooder than ours. I want to say this quickly. Look for the good in circumstances. Not going to give the whole story. Joseph, in the book of Genesis, his brothers were jealous toward him. They sold him as a slave. Sold as a slave. Then those people didn't want him. They resold him. It's bad when you're sold twice. A woman lies about him. He's thrown into prison. All he did was good. 13 years of his life passed. He's 17. Now he's 30. What's good about that? Lied about, sold, could have been killed. Now he's in a dark, damp prison. They put stocks on his feet or chains when they marched him into captivity, hurt his feet. At the end of his life, he's the vice prime minister of the nation of Egypt. He sees the brothers again that sold him. They're begging for food. Joseph now has a beard, different apparel. He's aged 13 years, doesn't look the same. His voice is deeper. He speaks a foreign language. They didn't recognize him. They beg for food. God said, it's Joseph. It is I. They trembled. Here's what Joseph said. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. What was he saying? I know it looked pretty bad at the time, but I'm going to save my family. I'm going to feed you guys and the whole nation of Israel. Sometimes God lets you go through something and the whole picture looks evil. And God says, but I'm so big, I mean it for good. Look for the good in your circumstances. When my wife was in the hospital 80 days, she said, all I can figure is God's trying to get the gospel to all these famous doctors, nurses in San Francisco, people we would never meet. Had a little episode. They took me to the hospital in an ambulance one time, and I'm thinking, why in the world did this happen? Well, I'm trying to meet some nurses and some doctors and some people in ambulances, give them tracts and gospel, people I never would have met. Look for God in your circumstances. And then I'm end up here. Look for the good in your darkness. That word darkness is used a lot in Scripture, and it refers to dark times. We still use that phrase today in our modern vernacular. Pastor, I'm going through a dark time. I'm not rejoicing. I'm not trusting. I'm in a trial. You know, one good thing about the dark times, when you say, I can't see what God's doing. I can't see what I'm supposed to do next. This is terrible. It's scary. It's all dark. I don't know what to do. One thing about darkness, God has our undivided attention. We're not talking to anybody else. We can't see anything. There's no distractions. That's when he's able to talk to us. Even in the dark days, God is good. Now, I don't know where you are today. Real simple thought, but you don't get any deeper than this. Maybe you've been doubting the goodness of God. Well, this has happened to me, and I just don't think God's good. You need to change your thinking. See, this happened before you were even born. When Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again for your sins, that took place even before you came on this planet. So God has already settled if he's good or not. That's already settled. Let's get him off trial. Get him off the witness stand. Stop doing that to him. Get the little gavel. Bang, bang. God's good. Case dismissed. Stop doing that. And you'll be a happier person. If you're here tonight, this morning, do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. All I can tell you is what he did on the cross was good. What he'll begin in you as a new Christian is good. And where we end up at the end of life is real good. And you'll be glad. Today you could receive him as your Savior. You don't have to join a church, don't have to get baptized, don't have to give money, but you do have to give him your heart by faith. If you're here today and there's some confusion on how good God is to you, or maybe you've questioned it, or it's been a long time since you've thanked him for his goodness, in a moment we'll have an invitation. You could come and spend time with him. If you're wanting to get baptized today at the end of service, you could be baptized. Whatever the need, you come.